Four nurses have filed a lawsuit against Tenet Healthcare, the parent company of DMC and Sinai Grace, in a whistleblower lawsuit over what they say was negligence and mismanagement that led to unnecessary deaths and conditions amid the COVID-19 surge. Kristen Jordan Seamus is a reporter with the Detroit Free Press who's been writing about this. Kristen, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks, April.
Before we dive in, I want to play a little piece of audio from one of the nurses that you talked to for your story, Catherine Goggin. And she works at Sinai Grace. And she gave this really harrowing story in your article and also during a press conference that happened a day later. Let's listen.
Yeah, we had a young man, he was in his late 30s, early 40s, come into the recess room, which is where we see critical patients that need to be seen right away. He could not breathe. So they decided to go ahead and intubate him. I was his nurse in that room. I moved him over to TCU, which is our transitional care unit. And while he was over there, I guess, come to find out that his ventilator tubing that was connected to the tube had come disconnected. And we were so short-staffed, nobody realized it. This was an old ventilator that the respiratory therapist didn't know how to use to begin with, and he ended up dying because it came disconnected from his tube. I mean, I will always remember this man because I heard the doctor calling his daughter and saying, "I'm sorry to inform you that your father has passed away." And I remember, like, stopping him and saying, "Wait, the guy that was in two that we took over to TCU 10? And he goes, "Yeah, Kat, he died." And I was like, "What?" Like, I was like baffled. That man should have never died. So then I went over to TCU to figure out what happened. And that's what happened. His tube came disconnected. So he basically suffocated to death in that room.
Again, that's nurse Catherine Goggin describing conditions at work at Sinai Grace. We're talking with Kristen Jordan Seamus, the reporter at the Detroit Free Press who wrote about the story. Kristen, I mean, it's just heartbreaking and kind of unbelievable. But aside from this anecdote that Catherine Goggin just gave us, what else are the nurses saying happened?
Their stories are pretty devastating, and they talked about how at some points during the peak of the pandemic, they ran out of stretchers and beds. Some of the patients just had to sit in chairs until a bed opened up, and some of them died there. They talked about how they got so low on ventilators, some of them were hooked up to machines that were so old, the respiratory therapists weren't completely sure how to use them. They ran out of monitors that they used to track a patient's vital signs. So they would have patients lined up in the hallway so they could keep a better eye on them to make sure that they were still getting enough air. They talked about how they went down to just one body bag and they prayed that nobody else would die that day because they didn't know what they'd do if they ran out of body bags. And then they described what they did when they ran out of oxygen tanks. So they came up with a way to split one oxygen tank among two patients. So they shared the oxygen among them, even though they didn't know whether those patients had coronavirus or not, which meant that they could be infecting one another.
I mean, it just sounds like war zone conditions, not a major metropolitan hospital. Has the hospital made any response to the nurses' claims yet?
The DMC, the Detroit Medical Center, which owns and operates Sinai Grace, has said that they can't comment on pending litigation. But in late April, after CNN aired photos of body bags stacked inside a sleep study lab at the hospital, and around that time, night shift nurses had also staged a protest because they said they were so short-staffed, the situation was unsafe for patients. And right around then, I also interviewed the CEO of the DMC. Her name is Audrey Gregory. And she told me that what the nurses were reporting wasn't necessarily the reality that existed. But she also said she didn't want to get into a back and forth with the nurses or negate their feelings. And she said that they did bring in extra staff to try to reinforce the ranks at the emergency department within Sinai Grace. But the nurses that I interviewed said that that extra help came way too late and well after the crisis was over.
What's happened to these four nurses since they started speaking out about the conditions during the surge?
Well, a couple of them have found new jobs. Catherine Goggin, the woman who just spoke, told me that she's in therapy now and she suffers from PTSD after what she experienced. But one of the nurses, Sal Hadwan, he told me he's not ready to look for work again. It's overwhelming for him to think about what it would be like to work in an emergency room if there were a second wave of the virus and another surge. He doesn't know if he could handle it.
Have any other hospital staff come forward to either confirm or tell some different stories since the lawsuit was filed?
I have not interviewed any, but from what I understand, a couple of other employees at Sinai Grace are also considering legal action. And then there was one nurse, her name is Kanisa Barkai, and she's from Woodhaven, and she sued the DMC before this group of four nurses did.
What do you think is at stake here for the hospital system, depending on how this suit is handled and comes out?
Yeah, it's a real challenge because Sinai Grace is a safety net hospital, and it provides care in a part of the city where there aren't other hospitals and where there are a lot of people who don't have regular access to healthcare and can't afford it. So the doctors and nurses there, they're all committed to helping the community and working in the city. And it definitely affects the reputation of that hospital and those who continue to work there. And the fear is that people who live in the area and need Sinai Grace for medical care, that they'll be less willing to turn to the hospital when they need medical help.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the conditions that were pretty prevalent in Michigan in March and April, and you think about the entirety of what was happening during the COVID surge, the kind of overwhelm that they're describing, do you see it as being avoidable or preventable, or is the hospital the appropriate place to look when we talk about who was really responsible for this? Was there anything that the hospital might have done differently?
You know, I think a lot of people, a lot of within the medical community, there was a lot of surprise, I think, at how quickly coronavirus ramped up and how quickly we went from no cases at all to being in the middle of a really awful surge. And, you know, when I did interviews in February, before we had any cases in Michigan, a lot of the health systems and directors I spoke with all said, yes, we're prepared. We're ready. We've got this. You know, we have a plan in place. We have a system. We're ready. But I don't know if you can ever be ready for what we experienced. I don't know if anyone can ever say, unless you've experienced it and you know exactly what's coming at you, it's hard to prepare for that. And the question is just whether they could have brought in more help more quickly, whether we could have gotten supplies faster. But those supplies were all in demand all across the country, not just in Michigan. So I don't really know the answer to that question.
Did the nurses say anything about bringing up their concerns at the time all this was happening?
They were very concerned, and they complained to the administration and to management about some of the situations that they were facing. One of the policies that came down, they said, at the height of the pandemic was that they weren't allowed to perform CPR on patients who were suspected of having COVID-19. So if a patient came in and they thought that person had COVID-19, at the time there were no rapid tests available. They were told they had to just let that person die, that they could not perform CPR because the risk was too high to the nurses and the doctors and the staff in terms of contracting the disease. They felt that that was really wrong.
This is such a conundrum. I know that there are some healthcare professionals who went into work being concerned, you know, wanting to make good on all their responsibilities, but wanting to, you know, having their own concerns about whether they would be safe if they did such a thing. In this case, it sounds like they're saying that their administrators told them under no circumstances should they put themselves at risk that way.
Right. And there was one nurse who told a story, and it didn't actually make my story in the Free Press, but it was one that stuck with me and still kind of haunts me a little bit. And it's the story of a man in his 30s who came in, and he had been passing out. He'd been having fainting spells. And he also had a little bit of trouble breathing, but he didn't have a fever. And so they didn't initially classify him as a COVID-19 case. And he waited for almost 24 hours before he got any care. and he was at a sink washing up, and he said that the man fainted again. He passed out. But this time, it appeared that he was going into some sort of, you know, horrible shock, and he needed CPR. And so they rushed over, they performed CPR on him. They started running tests, they put him on a ventilator, and they discovered that he had a huge pulmonary embolism, a big blood clot. And then they started to connect the dots. People who were younger who had coronavirus were beginning to show up at emergency rooms with strokes and with blood clots. And so that then classified him as a COVID-19 patient. And so when he coded again, when he needed to be revived again, they weren't allowed the second time to perform CPR. And so he died. And the nurse was saying, wait a minute, we just performed CPR on this man. Like, why not send in the same team to do it again, to revive him and to bring him back? But they were told no, under no circumstances were they to revive him again. And the man died.
Kristen Jordan Seamus writes for the Detroit Free Press, and she's been covering the case of four nurses who filed suit against Tenet Healthcare. Kristen, thanks for the update, and we're looking forward to reading more coverage on the case.
Thanks so much. Take care.